This is Morgan Michael, welcoming you to Kindsight 101, the podcast, where you'll hear from world-renowned educational leaders about the mobilizing power of kindness, together by challenging our assumptions and venturing beyond the status quo in education. We can make a big impact, one small act at a time.
Any experience that is encoded in a state of terror can become trauma.
Dr. Jody Carrington is a clinical psychologist and recent author of Kids These Days, who has spent most of her career working with children and families who have experienced trauma. She grew up on a farm in rural Alberta, Canada, and after 13 years of post-secondary education, she found her first job on the mental health inpatient units of the Alberta Children's Hospital in Calgary. It was during those 10 years that she learned the most about kids, families, and relationships. Jody is a passionate believer in the power of relationship with people we love, lead, and teach. In this mini episode with Dr. Jody Carrington, we do a deep dive into trauma, what it is, what it isn't, and some of the ways that we can support our kids as they experience traumatic events. You've talked quite a bit about trauma. You dedicated a whole chapter to it, which I was really grateful for, because 2 out of 3 people in the world experience some form of trauma. And before we dive into some of the ways that we can identify it, like the ACEs test, for example, and the ways that we can approach and support those experiencing trauma, how would you define trauma?
It's such a good question. There's really no definition that I think suffices, because everybody's experience is so universal. So all that, I guess I'm going to just eat my words here, because here's how I come to understand it, is that any experience that is encoded in a state of terror can become trauma. And so oftentimes we think about this very stereotypically, right? Like, so on a battlefield, or, you know, our EMS, our first responder personnel, like that's what trauma is. Or if you've been in a horrific shooting or a horrific car accident, that's trauma. Trauma for our little monkeys can be anything that was encoded in terror. So watching a mom have a seizure, that can be a trauma. A kid living through a refugee experience, right? Like there's some of those things in addition to sort of the ACEs scores, which is the Adverse Childhood Experiences study that has identified there's certain things that most often are encoded in a state of terror, right? So, You know, going through some really difficult situations, being very, very scared about whether I'm going to be safe or okay, often results in a traumatic response.
I believe that trauma is a very important topic to touch upon, and it can be triggering for people. But the thing about it is that 2 out of 3 of us as adults has experienced some form of trauma in our life. And the ACEs test, the Adverse Childhood Experiences test, is a really important diagnostic tool that is often used in the United States to essentially signal an educational community whether or not a child is at risk for developing in the future some difficult adult adversity, some of which may or may not include numbing through drugs or alcohol, incarceration, mental illness, violence, and even suicide. Some of these risk factors can sort of turn into a cycle. And so when we are able to predict and see some of these factors, we can really help kids to overcome some of the difficulties they might have, or to create new frames through which they can see the world, which equips them to do much better when adversity hits, and therefore not turn to some of the common armors we use as adults to overcome some of the effects of trauma. As it turns out, suicide rates are the 3rd highest in the industrial world in Canada. That's above the US and the UK. In her book, Dr. Jody Carrington states that 1 out of 5 teens have seriously considered suicide in the past 12 months. In a classroom of 20 kids, that means 4 could have a plan. That is a stat that should be relevant to every single parent and teacher and educational leader and medical professional out there. It is so important that we find ways to connect with these kids.
What I think is most interesting or most important to think about as an educator is that trauma or PTSD is not a mental illness. It's a psychological injury.
Right. That is huge. That was a real aha for me as well. And what's so, I think, poignant about that and really highlighting that in your book is the fact that it is not permanent and it is not outside of our realm of control, for lack of a better word, right? Mm-hmm. We have the ability as the people who support someone going through trauma to help them to sort of reframe, to just be there alongside them, right? And I'd love to hear a little bit more about how we might be able to do that for one another and then for the students, of course, that we serve.
All right. So one of the mainstays of trauma, of course, is that it puts you in a state of fight, flight, or freeze because you've been in a situation where you experienced a one-off trauma or you've been in a chronic state of a fight and flight that you had to be prepared for the worst, right? So the purpose of, us going into fight, flight, or freeze is to prepare for really hard things where we don't need any information in our prefrontal cortex. So just give you that burst of adrenaline so you can protect yourself, you can run, you can do what you need to. And some of our babies live in that state perpetually. And so when they come into our classrooms where things are safe, their body doesn't believe it. So they go through this, they're still in it. Right. If they've been, watching domestic violence, all night and they come into your classroom, they can't shut that off. They hear it. They see it. They smell it. They feel it. And when we're trying to teach them something and they're not making good choices or they're not paying attention, first, what I have to do is get them regulated. I have to create a sense of connection before I can teach them. And so the hard part about this, right, is that if they're in that state, so much of the time we don't even know it. Right. So much of the time we are just treating, we're not assessing. So people say this to me all the time, this baby has anxiety, so we're going to, do anxiety management. Or, this kid needs friendship skills because he doesn't know how to make friends. So tell me why, right? What are we missing about this babe? That we can sort of show up better for him in the classroom, because I can set an IPP up for a kid who has a severe trauma history and it can cause more harm than good. Because if I want to find out his motivators and his triggers, what I'm doing is trying to figure out how to keep this kid quiet, not calm.
Right. Compliance versus sort of the deeper. Yeah.
Connection.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so much of that is, again, back to this idea of how do we get back to our clinical teams? The purpose of our clinical teams, instead of sort of doing pull-out individual assessment or, individual treatment, can be much more about telling the stories of our staff to our staff teams from a clinical perspective of the hard ones, mm-hmm. right? Really, do we know what's going on? Because that should not be the job of the teacher or the EA, but what becomes really critical is your input into that story is so massively important, right? Because you hang on to those babies every day.
That's right. And the idea that we, although like you said, it's not our job to fix it, but we certainly have power over the environment and the responses to the way that they react within the classroom with compassion and empathy, as opposed to sort of this judgment or this expectation that they should be compliant when that's not a realistic expectation for them.
And if my job as a clinician in working alongside you as a teacher would be to be able to tell you that kid's story. Mm-hmm. And you listen, I haven't met an educator who doesn't have a massive heart, mm-hmm. right? Some of them are buried a little deeper than others, but if I can tell you the story of a kid, I can melt the 65-year-old bus driver's heart who's been there and he doesn't put up with nothing for nobody. You understand me? And I sit down and I say to him, Harold, let me tell you a little story about this guy, right? You listen, we're so glad you're in our division. You've been here 35 years. You got the watch and the pin and all the other things we so lovingly give you for your service. It makes you feel wanted. That and the odd potluck. But anyway, that's a whole other story. When I say to him, let me tell you a little bit about this baby, right? He's going to be a tough one. He's been kicked out of two other divisions, and I don't know. I think we can keep him till Christmas. But you need to know he's been in three foster homes, and he's seven. Mm. And you need to know there's a massive history of physical abuse. So he has no respect for authority. He has no respect for men. And all I want to do is get his eyes when he gets on the bus in the morning. I need to tell you, too, he loves the Canucks, and I know you do, too. So I don't know, he's probably going to come on, you know, give me the finger most mornings. And I know that's not appropriate or acceptable. And I know that's not what we want to encourage. And believe me, we will address that behavior. I just want you to get him here and remind this kid that actually he belongs with us. Can you do that for me? Mm-hmm. And that changes the story, right? So now that this guy who has a heart deep underneath there, Harold's going to say stuff like, whoa, just a second now. This young man's never had a dad or a grandpa. No, sir. Not one time. Mm-hmm. All right. I think I can. Okay. And then I, as a leader, want to look after my bus driver.
Yes. Right?
I'm going to check in with him. I'm going to say, dude, we have a meat tray in a staff room. This is my biggest This is going to be my biggest contribution to the education system.
The meat trays.
You need meat trays in your staff room. High quality meat trays for your staff. Forget the Chromebooks. You need less Chromebooks and more meat trays.
Tweet that.
I tweet that. Yes, train your Chromebooks for EAs and meat trays, and you will have the most incredible students on the planet.
This is such. This is a good spot to end off. I think I'm gonna fire you a few rapid fires, if that's okay. I know we're just a little over time.
You bet. Yes.
Okay.
Ma'am.
What does kindness mean to you?
What's crazy is the first person that pops into my head is Lori McIntosh, and you and I both know her. Mm-hmm. But kindness is, for me, it's so rooted in empathy. How can I suspend my judgment and give you my whole heart in this moment? It doesn't mean I condone what you're doing. It doesn't mean I support it. Sometimes it doesn't even mean I understand it, but I am going to give you my heart.
What quote would you print on one of those quote cups that could be sold in bookstores around the world?
Not out bookstores, because you've seen my mugs. But anyway, I will keep the F word off the quote card. Okay, it's a Brené Brown quote, and I use it every time I talk. The truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
And finally, what one skill or superpower does a leader or teacher need to lead with in order to be effective?
If I could say relationship 677 million times, that's what I would say right now.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. That's it. End of story.
Where can people find you?
Well, you can come to Olds, Alberta, Canada, and we could go for a coffee. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're on. our website is www.drjodycarrington.com. And I'm a huge fan of hanging out on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter these days. We do lives every Sunday night, just talking about all this holy work that you are doing for half an hour. And I can't wait to get to British Columbia.
We can't wait to have you. We're going to have to find a way to get you over here, which I don't think will take very long.
I'm going to hand deliver my book just for you.
Yeah. So I would love to meet you in
person. Yeah, let's do it.
This has been so amazing. Thank you for being so incredibly generous with your time and your ideas and your willingness to just stick with me through this. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor.
I want to thank you for the wonderful reviews that you've left for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews make a big difference in helping other educators find this show. If you think that I'm doing good work here and you'd like others to get inspired and join our 21-day kindness challenge and movement, I'd love it if you would take a minute, head over to iTunes, and leave a review. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Kindsight 101, the podcast. For links to resources mentioned in this episode, visit smallactbigimpact.com and click on our podcast and choose this episode number. Now, I'd love to give my audience a heads up about my new book, which will provide ideas, actionable strategies, and inquiry-based approaches to creating kinder classroom through serving the community. Subscribe to my blog for more information. Now, I would love to hear from you. What's the biggest insight that you gain from this conversation? Head over to our website, smallactbigimpact.com, leave a comment on our podcast page, or tag and connect with us on social media with the hashtag #SmallActBigImpact to share your inspiring story of kindness. Can't wait to hear from you.